Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. The Supreme Court today heard arguments over how much immunity a former president of the United States should enjoy from criminal prosecution. Former President Donald Trump has argued for absolute immunity. The debate has arisen over the question of whether Trump should stand trial on charges related to the 2020 election and the federal prosecution's case that he participated in efforts to subvert election results. At the Supreme Court today, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson asked this question of Trump's lawyer, John Sauer.
Let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office?
Trump's defense team is arguing that without absolute immunity for actions taken while in office, a president could fall victim to baseless, politically motivated prosecutions. The former president was unable to attend the arguments in Washington, D.C. He's back in a New York City courtroom today as the criminal hush money case against him enters day three. But as NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports, Trump has worked in campaign stops around New York.
Trump showed up at a New York construction site early Thursday morning where he greeted workers.
You know what? They're very, very talented people. They don't get the credit for it. They have very few people can do what they do. We used to do three floors a week in concrete, and it was guys like this that did it. So it's very amazing.
Blue-collar men are a key group Trump has courted throughout his political career. Trump's hush money trial is in session 4 days a week, every weekday except Wednesdays, which limits his campaign travel. Last week, he made a campaign appearance at a New York bodega. Trump also is making some space for his campaign rallies. Next Wednesday, he is scheduled to hold a rally in Michigan. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
The video of an Israeli-American held hostage in Gaza has given family members of the hostages renewed hope, and they are pressing the Israeli government to reach a deal with Hamas. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
As protesters block streets outside the defense ministry, a survivor of the October 7th attack, Iris Ganor, sits in the shade in Hostage Square. She says the video of Hirsch Goldberg Polin raised hopes that more of the hostages are still alive, and she says the government needs to get them home.
Do anything, but I mean anything. Stop the fire, release the prisoners, whatever is necessary, and bring them back.
Israel's defense minister says his forces will fight Hamas everywhere in Gaza until the 133 hostages are home. The protesters argue that negotiations are the only way to get them back. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is off 454, the Nasdaq off 161. This is NPR. In Tanzania, officials say flooding caused by weeks of heavy rain has left 155 people dead and impacted almost a quarter of a million more. The prime minister has told the parliament that the El Nino weather system has made Tanzania's rainy season extremely intense, destroying roads, bridges, and railways, and leading to emergency rescues of people stuck in high water. China blasted three astronauts into space today. NPR's John Ruich has details from the launch site in China's remote west.
Onlookers cheered as the Long March 2F rocket lifted off and lit up the night sky. The three taikonauts, as they're called in China, will spend the next half year aboard China's Tiangong space station. They'll zoom around the planet, conducting more than 90 scientific experiments, teaching classes to kids back on Earth, and doing maintenance on the space station. As part of a biannual rotation, they replace the existing crew. Shenzhou 18, as the mission's called, is part of an ambitious space program, and officials say it'll help pave the way for China to put a person on the moon before 2030. John Ruich, NPR News, at the Jiuquan Satellite Launch Center in western China.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in China's financial hub city of Shanghai, where frank discussions about trade are underway. In his first day of meetings there, he challenged the city's top official, the Communist Party secretary, about charges of intellectual property theft and trade policies that have led to a multi-billion-dollar Chinese trade surplus with the U.S. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.